Dear God is good. So excited for what God is doing in our midst. I am so thankful to God for, you know, his ways in which he's communicating with us. I want to just say this even as we begin. Let the Lord do what he's doing in your life. And as you and I just, you know, come to that place of knowing that, man, he is God. He's got me. He's got me covered. He's got me, you know, he's got my back. He's got my family's back. Because some of you are burdened about things. You're burdened and concerned about things. You're concerned about some, you know, like we already prayed for certain areas. I want to tell you something. God is for you. Listen, this is important for you to hear that. God is for you. He's for you. He's not against you, it says. So I'm just saying that, you know, even if you're going through a hardship and difficulty, there's pain in your heart, there's things going on, you know, there's frustration, there's all kinds of things. I want to tell you that God is making us a place where he can be glorified. He's making you, your life, a place where glory will continue to come through your life in Jesus' name. So I'm just saying, Lord, I want to be a vessel. You know that song we sing? How many of you heard that song, Make Me a Vessel? Pour it out for you, Lord. Make me a vessel. I'm just saying to you today, I've been so excited over the last few weeks. You're going to say, how can you be excited about preaching on what you're preaching on the last few weeks? But I'm excited because the Lord said this is important for such a time as this. For the time in which we're living, this is an essential message. And I've been speaking primarily kind of jumping off. You know, when they jump off of a diving board, you take a scripture, you jump off that diving board, and then the Lord takes you to other places once you get off the board. But this is the theme and the key of what we've been preaching. So I want you to go to Romans 12. We're going to read these verses again. And when we read these verses, I want you to see that this is a great place because, man, when we get into alignment with God, in our life, with all of our lives, then great things are bound to happen. God is not just, God wants his glory. Okay, let me just stop for a minute. How many know what glory means? You know, we say it, and I said it three times at least already in this last few minutes. God wants his outshining. Glory is the outshining of God. God wants his outshining, what he's like, to come forth from the earth. Well, we're the pinnacle of his creation. Human beings are the heights of his creation. God wants his glory to come forth from your life. His outshining, that's his desire. That's, you know, he created us initially with that image of God, where his love, his light, his everything shines, and something got in the way. But even though darkness and chaos got in the way of even his plan in terms of creation, God says, I'm going back and I'm going to make it right. And that's why we started out with those verses in our earlier in worship, that God said, let there be light. Because God's design and purpose is glory would not be, you know, as much as glory, outshining of God has gone away from the world, God says, I'm coming and I'm bringing light and glory back into the world. So Jesus comes. He's the express image of the glory of God. He's the outshining of God. Now the gospel, the good news, is that anyone who is born from above, anybody who comes into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, has that outshining of God put in them. How many of you are glad about that? Come on. Jesus said, when you come to me, you will not walk in darkness, but you shall have the outshining of God. You will be the light of God. Well, this is amazing. So when we read Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, we have to look at it from the bigger purpose of God, the bigger plan of God. In Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, you know, these are great verses, and you got them up there already, long before I even get there, of course, because you guys are quick. And so Romans 12, verse 1, and 2. And it says here, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy. Are you recording this, by the way? Amen. Glory to God. We got it. I just thought I'd ask. All right. I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You know what? You bring glory to God when you present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, because then He has the possibility of shining through you. Let me tell you something. You're either going to shine with the glory of God, or you're going to shine or not shine. I shouldn't say it wouldn't be shining, but you're going to give off. Hey, I'm using the expression shining as giving off something. Okay, so let me say it again. You're either going to give off the glory of God and the presence of God in your life, or you're going to give off something else. We're always giving off something. We're always, you know, in whatever situation there's something being off of me. Now, when I come into your presence, or you come into my presence, something is off of me comes to you. Something off of you comes to me. How many of you know that's true? Hey, come on, we just got to go into an atmosphere and say, something creepy here. How many of you feel some stuff at that time? You know, like either presence. Well, there is a place where we carry now the presence of God. Hey, and we talked about it in the first message. Because of the mercy of God, because of the fact that He has now brought me out of the kingdom of darkness, come on, out of the kingdom of darkness, Colossians says, and brought me into the kingdom of His dear Son. The mercy of God has redeemed me, captured me, got my heart, and now I get the privilege of saying, God, my life belongs to You. So when I give my life to God, give my body to God, and submit my, you know, everything, my mind, my will, my emotions, my physical body, everything about me, I submit to God. All I'm saying is, God, I want Your glory to shine. I want You to shine, Lord. Because that's why I'm created. And that's, you know, yes, I got messed up, but I'm born anew, I'm born again. I'm brought into Your family so I can shine. You can shine through me, Lord. So it says here, and I want to talk about it from different aspects of this here today. It says here that we present ourselves, our bodies, as living sacrifices, holy, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Now, last week we talked about the fact that we don't even belong to ourselves. In Corinthians, it says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that God has redeemed me. I am His now. I talked about the slave market. But God has redeemed me so I can bring glory to Him. That every part of my life will reflect who He is and what He's like and what He's done for me. So we're not going into that part of the message today, but it's all connected. Then he says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world. Okay. Can you have the TPT there somewhere? Can you get that for me, please? In that translation, there's a couple of great translations here. But anyways, so it says here, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what's amazing is transformation. It's the same kind of a word that when a butterfly changes from a chrysalis to a butterfly, you know, metamorphosis. That's right. Thank you. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? No, I didn't see it. I had the privilege of seeing a photo. But my wife at our home, I hope everybody gets to come and visit us at our home. We have a beautiful place where we live. Shelly loves gardening. There's all kinds of flowers and stuff. So we have butterflies. And so there's a monarch butterflies come to be, and they're beautiful, orange, you know, stripes, black, all that. Anyway, so this monarch butterfly had laid whatever it lays, and it had started to do its thing, you know, caterpillar, and then eventually goes to a chrysalis. A chrysalis is like a cavity. It's holding the butterfly. And actually, Shelley saw the process of that coming into formation, the butterfly coming out. She took a picture of it. And our son, our grandson Isaiah, was there. It was beautiful. So, but the original intent was this would be a butterfly. Not to stay in that state. So Paul is using this word. He says, don't be conformed but by the pattern of the world, because the reality is, folks, by the way, is everybody able to hear me okay? Okay, not a problem. As long as you're able to hear, because I'm not the monitors here, but that's okay, as long as you can hear. So the reality is that when God rescues us and redeems us, right? And we're not our own. He actually makes us into a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old is gone, the new has come. So something has shifted. What's happened? See, what God says, listen, and that's why it says in that passage in Colossians, he's taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light, really, the kingdom of his son. Something is shifted. So when Paul is saying, don't be conformed any longer to the pattern of the world, what he's saying is, listen, there is a culture, hear this, guys, there's a culture that you may have come out of, hopefully, God willing, when you were born anew, that you realize that you were taken out of a culture, taken out of a lifestyle, a pattern in which you used to live. And that pattern and culture still permeates the world in which I live. Come on. Hey, it affects every part of society. And that culture will still have a sway. The potential of that, listen, that culture in which I live 24/7 is going to have its sway that I would conform. Where the Lord actually has said, nuh-uh, I've changed you, I've shifted you, I've taken you out of a place of darkness where this culture, listen, I told you before, before I became a child of God, before I was born again into his family, I became a new creation. You know, the potential for me to follow the way of the world, the pattern of the world, the pattern of the culture in which I live, was easy. It was just easy because I was already in it. Something shifted. God took me out of that and brought me into his kingdom. It's a different culture in the kingdom. That's why it's so important to realize that the culture has shifted for me. And now I should not allow that culture from which I'm taken out of by his mercy and his grace to lure me back in. Hey, the potential is there. Isn't it interesting? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, John says, love not the... Come on, put it up there, please. 1 John 2, 15, I think it's 2:15. 1 John, 1 John 2, 15. What does it say? Read it all together. Do not love the world or anything in it. For anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Let's read the next verse. What is the world? For everything that is in the world, listen, this is the culture. It's not the planet. Got it? For everything that's in the world, what is it? The cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting or the pride of what he has does comes not from the Father, but from the world. So the culture, the world, has an effect. And it can still have an effect. I'm afraid for this generation, guys. These messages are rooted somewhere. These messages are rooted in a place where I see in our day, in our age, because what's happened, there used to be a time when God's word and God's culture was more acceptable. How many know that's true? God's truth was more acceptable. Well, anyways, the church actually had a place where there was respect. Isn't that true? I don't know, maybe you young people didn't realize that, but by and large, most people lived according to a, let me talk about this, according to a morality, according to a standard. They didn't even know it, but it was biblical. They just did. It's sort of the way. And now what's happened is that everything is shifted. So we're living in a culture. How many of you know there's tension in your choices today? Because it's like we're coming right against something culturally that's so against God. So, you know, we're looked, how many realize that we're looked upon, those of us that believe God's word and God's truth, we're looked upon as being narrow, out of touch with reality. You guys are backwards. Come on, are you with me? It's not true. Because the world, which is, see, here's the thing. It's there's a culture of the world which is anti-God. God loves the world. The Bible says God so loved the... Well, what world does God love and what world doesn't he love? Because he's telling us not to love the world. He's talking about God so loved people. God so loved the creation. God loves humanity. God so loved the world that he gave his life to redeem the world. But there's a part of the world which is the systems of the world. And as a matter of fact, the Bible even says there's an enemy who's called the God of this age, or God of this world. And so he influences the culture. Come on. You know, so is it any wonder that it's not culturally or politically correct in certain things that we would say? Like if I believe in taking a position on life, if I take position of protect the life of a child in the womb, which is pro-life, I'm considered to be narrow. Isn't that true in our culture? By and large, people are going to question, well, how can you believe that? You can't. Well, hey, it's pretty obvious. I keep taking lives of children, and millions and hundreds of thousands of children are taken, lives are taken every day all across this world. It's like I am destroying what God has said to Adam and Eve, go be fruitful and multiply. Oh, I'm taking life, really? Yeah. So as God's people, we need to take a stand according to God's truth. Not because of the culture that tells us to do certain things. Let me tell you something. It's going to be divided. You're going to have to make a line. You know, the lines are already there. You and I are going to have to make a stand of what we believe, whether we're going with the culture, going with the world as it is, and it's going south. You know, when I use the term south, it's going down quickly, and God's people are going to be confronted. You're going to be confronted with a choice. Are you going to follow God? You're going to be confronted. You know, choose this day who you will worship. Choose this day whom you will serve. And you know, the influence of the world in which you and I live are subtle. Let me tell you something. The enemy is subtle. It's almost, you heard the illustration. Hey, if you remember the illustration of a frog in a kettle? Who heard that one before? You know, you put a frog in hot water, just put him in hot water, boiling hot water. What's he going to do? Come on. Put a frog in hot water, boom, he's going to jump out. Okay? But hey, if you put a frog in water, in a nice kind of lukewarm, comfortable water, he'll sit there and turn the heat on and get the water hot slowly, the frog's just going to think it's fine. Before you know it, he's toast or boiled. Maybe boiled is better. He's not. All right. So here's the thing. You know, we've lived, for some of us, we've been here long enough, and some of you, this generation, younger generation particularly, you know, it's not like God's saying, you know what? I don't want you to be like the world because... you know, that means you're naughty, naughty. Or this message isn't about laws. Some people say, oh, legalism. Oh, you know, God's saying thou shalt not. Well, yeah, God did say that, by the way. So we'll leave that up to you and God. All right? Okay. But the fact is, God intention is that you and I, when we're born again, when we become his children, when we become enlightened by God, we're going to bring glory of God to earth. God's intention and purpose is that we're going to shift culture, and culture's not going to shift us. Come on. There's something. So I cannot allow myself to go there, because that's just going to mean I'm frogging the kettle, and eventually I get boiled. Rather than being the light of God, man. So my encouragement is, listen, you are set in a place. Come on. You all, if you know Jesus, are set in a place of darkness to bring light to that place. Did you hear what I just said? You know, whether it's in school, whether it's at work, or whether it's, you know, home, or wherever your state might be, I am saying to you, God set you in that place to bring glory to him. Isn't it any wonder? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, you are, verse 13, you are the salt of the, put that up please, Matthew 5, 13, you are the salt of the, you are the salt of the, and you know what salt, and the sad thing is, that's what's happened. The thing is, salt is to, when salt comes in, oh, we had fun last night, we were cooking. Oh, that's not fun. It actually is fun. I love cooking. I love cooking. So today we're going over to my aunt and uncle's. By the way, it's kind of a weird kind of a weekend for us. Some of you are, you know, this is going back away from the story that I really want to tell you, but I'm going to tell you this. This is the weekend that I lost my two cousins, 19 and 27. My first cousins were drowned in a boating accident 30 years ago today. So my uncle Jacob and Irene live here. That was their children. And their son is here from California. And we're having a get-together after we leave here today with the family. And there's some other cousins have arrived. So I was cooking lobster yesterday. Let me tell you, it's really weird because, you know, I thank God that these young people, 19 and 27, had Jesus in their life. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Because they're not gone. We're going to meet them one day. Praise God. But it's still sad, isn't it? So we're there. I'm cooking lobster. And I say to Shelley, I don't know, if you've cooked lobster, if you don't cook lobster, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you cook lobster, you got to put salt in the water. How many know? You can't do lobster without salt in the water. I watch these chef shows. Do you ever watch a chef show? They're cooking lobster, and they go like this with the salt shaker. Now we put the lobster in. And I say, man, where are you from? Come on, isn't that right? You cook lobster, you got to put salt in the water. By the way, if you don't know, now you know. I put about a half a cup in the pot, man. It's got a lot. Because the water is what is there. Yeah, or cook it in the water. Go get the water from the sea. Cook it in that water. It's even better. All right. I'm there saying, oh, my dear. Ready to cook lobster and this much salt in the house. And I got to do 3 pots of lobster. Anyways, so, hey, but let me tell you something. I thank God that I did find a little bit more. And then... So salt is important, right? Because it gives flavor. It's something, it changes. It's beautiful. So here's what the Lord's saying. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, if the salt is not effective, then what use is it? What he's saying is that, listen, you are to shift culture. Your life, and hey, come on, the culture's happy to shift me. Because the devil's happy to shift me. Are you following me here? We're talking a culture that doesn't have the values of God in place. And there's a lot of the culture out there that doesn't have the values of God. And it's around me, man. It's around me at work. It's around me at home. It's, you know, it's just right there to get me, to trap me and trip me up. It is subtle. Man, it's so subtle. Before you know it, just take... And so, for example, I'm going to give you some examples here. For example, this idea... Listen carefully here, guys. This idea of dating. Oh. I didn't know you were going to go there. You know, and you hear people, oh, I'm playing the field. You know what I mean by that? I'm checking this guy out, that guy out. And before you know it, you've actually played the field to a point where your life, morally, sexually, has lost its place where God wants it to be. And even your life has lost its saltiness because you were meant to make a difference. So you're just, hey, I want to tell you something. God's intention for your sexuality, and that we're talking real stuff here, God's intention, God's desire is that you be pure. Why? Because it's something God created. It's created for a greater, higher purpose. It's created for a purpose for you to have a sexual relationship between a man and a wife in a marriage context where something beautiful happens. You know the sad thing about the dating relationships? And I'm just telling you this because I didn't think of this earlier in my life, but I've thought of it since. When you start checking this guy out, making sure, you know, or this girl out, you know, to see if they're the right fit, you know what you're doing is you're not just giving possibly your body, but you're giving your heart. Are you following me? So you give a bit of your heart to that guy, and maybe you give your body to that guy too. Already you've given of yourself something. Is there a piece of paper that I can rip? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's good. So here it is, you have a whole heart to begin your life, to give to the man that God or the woman that God's called you to marry. Hey, there's your heart. It's whole. And what happens? Well, you go with this guy. Give him your heart. And you go with that guy. Give him your heart. And then your heart's broken because you break up, right? Didn't hang out, but you gave your heart. Maybe you gave your heart and your body. And you keep doing it because I want to make sure. And everything else that you're thinking about. But let me tell you, God can make it sure for you if you want. Then you get the man that you're really supposed to marry and you give him your heart. And guess what? Then you got to go around life trying to pick up the other pieces. Listen, I've been in ministry for 40 some years. Shelley and I do healing of the heart ministries for the last several years. I know what I'm talking about. But let me tell you something. God is able to make you whole. God's able. You know, the only one who can, hey, come on, listen to this. He came to heal the brokenhearted. How many are glad Jesus comes to heal the brokenhearted? Listen, I'm not just trying to pick on you. Guess what? Some of this happened to me. I'll be 60 this year. Hallelujah. Praise God. And there was times in my life that I did that. But you know what God does? He heals the brokenhearted. When I came to him with a confession of giving myself over to somebody, guess what? The Lord says, you know what? You're repentant. I'm going to wash you, cleanse you. Let's get it right. Let's restore you. God's a restorer. I don't want anybody thinking, oh, my dear, my life is over. You know, it's. But let me tell you something. It's okay. Hey, listen, what's happening here? It's okay. Because sometimes you need to get to that place of confession. We need to allow it. You know, when I do ministry of the heart, let me tell you something, ladies. Let the crying come. Comfort her, but let it come. Because sometimes there's healing in the crying. Okay? So let her cry. Give her the tissue. That's perfect. Give her the tissue. That's it. Just let her come. Because sometimes, more times than not, healing comes to repentance. And repentance got to go to a deep place. So when I do ministry and somebody's crying in the ministry, I say, let her cry. Give her the tissues. Yeah. Because God's doing something. Amen? Come on, because this is not about her being hurt by something I said. This is about God doing something. Hey, come on. See it? Do you see it? Because God's going to restore that soul. Amen. And maybe God's going to restore you from your brokenness today. So the Lord is doing it. He's about just releasing his kingdom. So anyways, so here's the thing. Because God is a God of restoration. God is the God of refining. God's the God of mercy. That's why, listen, that's why it's so important to take those verses in context. I beg of you, in the view of God's mercies, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. You know, hey, I shared this with you. Maybe you're going to say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't be talking like this. Well, I had relationships before I got married. Maybe you didn't hear that before. Whoa, come on, I'm being honest. Thank God they're under the blood of Jesus. Come on now. Thank God that they're under the blood of Jesus. Come on, let's not be shy about this stuff. God able to restore? Yeah. He's able to cleanse? Yeah. I'm whole in his eyes. Come on, I'm pure. I'm justified. What does the Bible say about being justified? Just as if I never sinned. He declares me righteous. Come on, you know, the Bible. I want you to think of this. Which of you who has not sinned? The Lord says, let him cast the first stone. So don't go stone throwing at anybody. God's restored me. Hallelujah. God's forgiven me. Praise be to God. God's made me into a new creation in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, he sees my life as if it's never. Now, what about after? Now, I don't know. Some of you come into a relationship with Jesus and you made a mistake and you fell. You sinned. Well, what about that? Well, God says the same thing in his word. 1 John, I quoted it for you before. 1 John chapter 1. God is light. In him there's no darkness. If we say we have fellowship with God, walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, but hey, if we acknowledge that we've sinned, which means we made a mistake. Yeah, we blew it. We blew it. No, basically, it means that we didn't live according to the standard of God. Is God able to forgive? How many are glad about that? That's the mercy of God. He's able to restore. In verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us. Let me tell you something. Forgiveness is one thing, but being purified is another thing. Forgiveness is one thing. To be cleansed is another thing. To feel like I'm washed. Come on. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I love to get in the shower and wash, you know, especially if I've done something, you know, hard and manual, physical, you know, I'm sweating and, you know, or I'm working the dirt. Isn't it great to feel clean? You know, there's something about just that feeling of clean. And God's intention is that we would walk in forgiveness and cleansing. You know, one of the things that happened is the devil loves, the devil's title is a slanderer or an accuser. How many of you know those are two? The devil is called a slanderer and an accuser. So what he does is goes around saying, look at you. You know, you call yourself a Christian. So, you know, and what's amazing is if we're used by the devil, be careful. Because if you're slandering, ooh. Or if you're accusing, ooh. That's the devil's duties. That's his name. Watch out that you don't become a slanderer and an accuser of the brethren. Oh, that hurt. I don't want to. Hey, my Father is God. I want God to come forth from my life. So if I catch myself slandering, quickly recognize not God. Or accusing others, it's not God. Repent, confess, walk out in wholeness and completeness. You know, one of the things that we do, we often judge others because we're trying to hide ourselves. We make it so, just be careful. Judgment is not from God, it's God's job to judge. It's not your job. Judge. When I start to judge, I'm taking the place. Hey, I'm taking God's place in somebody's life. That's his place. Even Jesus himself kept from judging when he was put on the cross. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, he did not judge. He committed the judgment to God who judges righteously. He did not retaliate. So I pray for the God's grace. That wasn't meant to be part of the message. It's a bonus. I just felt the Lord said, give it to, so we just gave it to you as a bonus today. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's get back to this thought then. So I am now a company of the redeemed. I am now washed and forgiven. I am praying even now in Jesus' name that God would show you today, that God will open up your eyes to see that you are called to be a shifter of culture. That you are called, I'm called to be a change agent in the world in which I live, in the places. So it's, as I walk in the world, I am salt. I am to bring flavor. Really what it is bring God's flavor, right? I'm to bring God's flavor to where I'm at. It's not like I'm going to be flavored by the world in which I live or by the influences, by the thoughts and the patterns in which. So let's go back to another one. Another cultural fancy today. And it's sad because I'm seeing it everywhere. Oh, it's okay if I commit to somebody that I can live with them. Yeah, okay, I hear you. But you know, it's fancy now. It's the thing to do. Let me tell you something. It's the thing to do not only for people of the world, people who don't have God in their life. It's fancy now for even God's people. Maybe you're not seeing it, but let me tell you something. You know, it's one thing to give your body to somebody in a way that isn't meant to be outside of a marriage context. Yeah, God forgives, but let me tell you something. You lose something. God forgives, God restores, but let me tell you something. And you get a conscience that's guilty and shame, condemnation, all that stuff. I don't want to walk with that, man. I want to walk in freedom, cleansing, wholeness, and God wants to offer that. But then this whole thing about living together, this whole thing, because, hey, you all, some of you have come from India. Maybe it's not so fanciful there. It wasn't past, but now it is, isn't it? It's as other places. But it's more so probably here. It's like every other person you talk to. If they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, it's like, oh, let's just move in together. Well, okay. So it's the culture. But is it God? So, anyways, let me. I'm not trying to point fingers, make you feel guilty, or all that stuff. All I'm saying is, instead of me being a light, sorry, a salt in this case, and then the next verse. Go to the next verse in Matthew 5, verse 14. Instead of me being salt, and somehow being an instrument of change in a culture, right? I've become the frog in the kettle. And I've lost my saltiness in two different illustrations, right? And I'm not, there's no difference. So my life, in verse 14, you are the light of the world. So salt has flavor. Light has the ability to shine. So it's what we talked about. God's intention and desire is that I would glow with him. I would glow with purity. I would glow with holiness. I would glow with a body presented to him, a mind presented to him, heart presented to him. It's my act of worship to God who I love. And it's God's intention and purpose that my life would be this way, that I would not, back in Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You have the TPT there in that verse? Here, use this. She does. Okay, hear this, guys.
Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God, to be his sacred living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes.
Wow, isn't that amazing? That's a TPT? What's that?
The Passion Translation.
Thank you. I use that TPT, so it's the Passion Translation, and it just sets it in a wording that I think really kind of says it like it should. All right. So as we wrap this up, guys, I am influenced. I want to really show you this. I am influenced by that which I occupy my time and my energy with, primarily. And I'm going to say this. You live in the world, and you know you're being influenced by workers, co-workers. Hancha here, just picking on her for a minute. You could be influenced by your friends, your roommates. Hey, I'm influenced by the world as much. I'm hanging around people. You know, it's really, there's something about the company you keep. Guys, this really is. Why? Because it's subtle. You know what it says in Psalm 1? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Let me tell you something. You don't become a scoffer right off the bat. You don't become somebody who's going to questioning God's word and God's principles, God's morals right off the bat. What happens? You first walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And then you hang around and you stand and talk about it for a while. May not agree yet, but after a while, hey, it seems like it makes sense. So I'll be a scoffer. As much as they're scoffering the truth of God, I'll join in with that. Okay, so what do we do instead? Look at the next verse, guys. This is important as we move into this section. It says here, do not be conformed, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How does mind gets renewed? It gets renewed with truth. You ask the question, what's truth? Let me tell you, there's got to be some truth. Hey, let me tell you, if there is a thing called North Pole, right? How many of you know there's, and there is a magnetic pull of the North Pole. Are you following me? Okay, when somebody's looking for direction and they're lost and they have this thing called a compass, where is the arrow point? North, because there's a magnetic pull. There is a truth. There's a truth there. It's true north. Listen, there is a truth here, guys. I can talk all... You know, some people say, well, yeah, that's what the Bible says, but this is what I think. This is what I feel. Well, here you are. Bring in your thing and your puny little one person compared to 7 billion people and not everybody else. Bring in their thinking and comparing it to God's. That's pride. Who do you think I am? I want to submit to a supreme being. I want to submit to God and Jesus Christ. Well, then I better find out how He thinks. I better find out what He says, how to live. What are His standards? What's His desire for my life? I've been encouraging you guys, and I'm saying it again. The Word of God is so vital. Now, you know this. I am a man, I believe, of the Word and the Spirit. But it's so important to see the principles and the teaching of the Word of God. The values that God has placed in you. And the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. The Word of God. So, back in Psalm 1, it says here, so, don't live like this. He says, if you want to be truly happy, you want to be truly content, hey, Jesus said, I've come to give life and life to the fullest. I want the fullness of life. I want the happiness of life. I want the blessings of life. Well, I'm not going to get it if I go the way of the world. What's it say? Verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night. And what happens to that man or that person? Read the next verse. Let's say it together. He shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. How many want to live like that? Well, then I better get to that place where I'm rooted in truth. I want to encourage you guys, if you're not reading, and I'm not just saying reading for the sake of, I got to get to the Bible in a year. I'm talking about reading with the intent of meditating, with the intent of letting it come into you, let it become a part of you. Reading with the intent of, God, what is this saying to me? I'm just saying, you know, so this will renew your mind. Hey, this is the way of the world, the pattern in which I live in here. I'm living here. Am I going to go the way of the world, or am I going to live by what God says in his word, and he shows me by his spirit to be true, and then I'm going to be a shifter of culture around me. The culture's not going to toss me around. I'm not going to be tossed about with every wind that comes this way and that way. I'm going to be firmly planted and grounded in Jesus' name. Do you remember Jesus talked about a man who was to build his house? How many remember that? Matthew 7. A man who built his house on the sand, a man who built his house on a rock. And let me tell you, trouble is going to come your way knocking. Temptations, as you and I talked about a few weeks ago, are going to come your way knocking because you can't help it. You live in the world, which has influence. And it comes knocking on my door. If I have a foundation that's solid in Jesus and solid in what he says. You know what he says? The man who builds his house on the sand is like a man who heard the word and didn't do it. The man who built it on a rock is a man who heard the word and did it. Something about the word of God and hearing God's word and saying, Lord, I submit, I choose you, God. Why? Because, it's not I choose you, God, because I have to. And by the way, you're such a spoil sport. I choose you, God, but you're such a spoil sport. You're such a spoil sport. You don't want me to have any fun. Well, look at them. They're having fun. Oh. That's not how I do it. I choose them because of love and mercy. Come on. I choose them because as Mary, who was at the feet of Jesus, would weep tears and say, Lord, you saved me. You rescued me. You gave your life for me. I'm crying tears of gratefulness because of the mercies of God. I choose you, Lord, because you got a better plan for my life. You got a plan to prosper me. You got a plan to bless me. Come on. I choose you, Lord, not because you're a spoil sport. I choose you because to follow you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, my Father in heaven who owns everything. Oh, come on. There's no greater way. There's no greater life but to choose you. Because your way is the best way. So the last part of Romans 12, verse 2, bring that up again. Actually, why don't you read it? Listen, last verse, last part of chapter 12, Romans, we read it in the translation, TPT, and then we're going to close in prayer. Man, I'm excited. I hope you're getting something out of this, and I hope God's going to do something. Yeah, verse 2. Listen to this, guys.
Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes.
Amen. That's what I want, Lord. Let me tell you something. Holy Spirit is waiting. Holy Spirit is waiting for you to surrender. Holy Spirit is waiting for me to give my life over to Him. And, you know, I began this service way back when we first came here this morning. I started by saying the Spirit of God is hovering over you, hovering over the earth. He wants to bring whatever state of darkness that's in your life and bring light into it. Remember that? Creation. That's how I started. It's no different here. Holy Spirit is hovering over you right now. He wants His word. It says Holy Spirit was hovering over the earth, and the Lord said, let there be. You know what you know what that's saying? It's the word. It's the Spirit and the word. Spirit and the Word. Holy Spirit hovering. The Word said, let there be light, and there was. And my prayer today is as the Word of God has gone forth, Spirit of God who's hovering will take that Word and grip our heart to say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I give up anything that I'm trying to do on my own and make it happen. I just say, Lord, I make you once again the Lord of my life. Because I want you, not only I want you to be happy with my life, I want my life to be happy, which is his intent. In Jesus' name, I declare over you, God, these dear people, God, they're your people. I declare over you that if you're washed by the blood of Jesus, that you are his, you're not your own. I declare over you that you are put into a place, wherever state that you're in, whatever place you live, I declare over you, you're there to influence for God, not that others will influence you. Come on. I declare over you, you're light where you're at. You shine in Jesus' name. You are a bright, brilliant place where, you know, God's going to glow. Come on, in Jesus' name. There's a difference. Culture and your place is not going to change you. You're going to change culture. Come on. I'm saying this and prophesying over you that God will take the light and the love that he puts into your life by his Holy Spirit and shift the things around you. Come on. Atmosphere is going to change in Jesus' name. You're going to walk into that place, and you know what? You're going to, and it's not like by me trying to make it happen. It's by God coming through me, his words coming through me, his life coming through me, his actions coming through me. Come on. By the actions, my actions, you know, it says I will bring light and glory to God. Amen. Let your works be so that they will let the light of God be so, even through your works, that they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5, I think verse 16 or 17. Amen? Amen. So God, thank you for this day. I don't know about you guys. If you want to do business with God before you leave, don't ever leave. If God's speaking to your heart, get up and get moving without doing business with God. Amen? Do business with God if God's speaking to your heart. You can do it yourself. You can have somebody pray with you. But man, I'm excited about what God's going to do in this day and age. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Come on, let's give God a hand. Thank you, Father. God, you're awesome.